I'll probably be boring after that. But I want you to think about that dog that won. He wasn't going to let anything get in his lane to mess him up. And in our Christian life, now Paul's going to be specifically talking about a subject, but I want you to be broad-minded as far as thinking about what could hold you up in your growth as a Christian. In verse number 5, if you found Galatians 5, please stand. We'll read the verses. I'll try to go faster than I did this morning. And all the people said, amen, Brother Rick. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but that he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. But I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Not only been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again for this day. I thank you for the folks that are here tonight. As I prayed this morning, I pray simply for the Word of God to speak to the people of God, and may we all desire to be more Christ-like. And Lord, tonight, may we understand there are hindrances that are put in our path. There are hindrances that we have in our life that we need to remove. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can stay where you're at. I'm going to read a couple of verses from a couple other places just to set us up tonight. In Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Paul, in several places in his writing, reminds us of the importance. And again, we look in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. Paul says, but watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. He's talking about you and me. Everybody's got a ministry. He says in verse 6, for I am now ready to be offered at the time, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. So in reading those verses tonight, I want to remind you that when we get to the end, Jenny, I'm sorry. You're the only one that's sitting on the front row. I wish y'all were like I'm watching RU videos. I wish you were like those two RU guys that wanted to sit on the front row, and they were fighting over the front row, and Brother Paul Kingsbury, which I have met, was telling the story. They were up there like wrestling, and he's like, hey, guys, we're getting ready to start church. He's like, what's wrong? He's like, I want the front row. And the other guy said, you can sit in the back, second row. And I'm like, this is, and I told him, I said, that doesn't even sound real. He said, no, he said, it really happened. He said, I had to break them up and tell them, hey, look, we have plenty of seats. He said, there's no Baptists that are going to fight you for the other front row seat that's right over there. And he went, Man, when I used to go to concerts, I wanted to sit up front. I wanted to get right up in the personal part of it. Y'all are not that kind of Baptist. I mean, they were on front row. So anyway, so Paul, that was all free, okay? If I preached as loud as y'all responded, y'all wouldn't be able to hear me. Y'all get that maybe by the time you get home, okay? But anyway, we have a scripture here that's leading us to one of the most important doctrinal statements for the Christian. And that's to be led of the Holy Spirit and to produce fruit of the Holy Spirit. And again, Cole had it up there this morning. We can't please God in the flesh. We can't serve God in the flesh. And we can't get justified by the law or by the Bible. And we said this morning it has to be all about Jesus Christ. Now, I have stowed Jen Psaki, which I don't care for her, okay? Some of y'all might know who she is. She's the press secretary for Joe Biden. I don't care for the administration, but I have kind of stowed her phrase of circling back. I've told you that everything circles back to the gospel. Because she says she circled back and she don't know which direction she's circling back from. But that's a whole nother story, okay? She don't know where she's circling back from or going to. But anyway, everything circles back to the gospel. In your Christian life, in your race, in your task that you're on. And I'm telling you, I don't, like I told you this morning, I can't explain it well enough for you to understand. And you know how you're going to get it? You're not going to get it because all of a sudden you go, oh, Brother Rick is right. That's not, Miss Barb, the way it's going to happen. I wished it were so. Because tomorrow I'm going to be in prayer and anguish going, Lord, the church, I just knew that there was going to be a shaking in our church and we were just going to get on fire and just start doing stuff. I mean, I just thought that, Norma. I'm just thinking somebody's going to say, I'm not free, I want to be free. But I ain't seen it yet. But you know what, Miss Julie, it's not up to me. So you know what I'll be praying tomorrow? Anybody curious what Rick's going to be praying tomorrow? I'm going to be saying, Lord, if you spoke to somebody, I pray the Holy Spirit won't take their foot off the gas of conviction. I pray that it bothers them. I hope that they can't sleep. You say, you wouldn't hope that. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you know how it's going to happen? See, I'm circling back to that. You know how it's going to happen if it happens to anybody here in this room? The Holy Spirit is going to just like jar them so much that they're finally just going to give in. Say, Lord, you've been chasing me down. I'm giving in. And you say, how do you know that, Rick? Happens to me. That's how I got. Hey, Jerry Chandler, good preacher. Love him to death. Preached some great messages. Miss Lisa, I didn't go up every week. Boy, Brother Jerry, you're just getting me closer and closer. Nope, didn't do that. I wish, Sherry, that's the way it worked. Because, man, I would study harder and I would probably, like, try to get a better outline, get a better video, to get everything all set up. I'd try to get something. But it's going to happen when the Spirit of God shakes us and says, look, in verse 5, look at it. For we through the Spirit. He's looking back, I think, and he may not be, but I think he's looking back at kind of Abraham, because a lot of what he taught about Abraham was about hope and about righteousness and about faith, those three words. And then he goes to verse 6 and says, for in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but he says by faith, which worketh by love. Now, I looked that word worketh up. I hope I can find it here. I got it down here. It means energeo. That's the Greek word. And it means to be active, efficient, to be operative, be at work, put forth power. At the end of this message, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen because of love. We are not saved by love. Do you know that? But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm glad he loved me. Because if he didn't love me, he wasn't sending his Son to suffer and die on the cross. That's what is it? That's what worked. And that's what was operating. That was the motivating factor of God. And I'm here to tell you that process of the conviction of the Holy Spirit, when you yield to God, you're going to serve him because you love him. That's going to be the thing that it's going to operate that thing. Now the Holy Spirit's going to empower it, and I don't want to get too complicated, but Paul is saying here that none of these things, and we talked about it today, churchianity, legalism, legalist, all that stuff, it doesn't do any good. It's only about Christ. It's only about Jesus working and operating through our life. And it's going to be because of the work that love has in us. See, we're in the lane of hope. If you're going to... Back to my thinking about my Monday morning. I'm in the lane of hope. I'm hoping that if any... lost person sees their lost condition, that they'll call Brother Rick and say, Brother Rick, that message was so good I got saved. No, that's not what I'm hoping on. I'm hoping that the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ does its work, because what does it do, class? Everything circles back to the gospel. That's my hope. And I'm hoping that if somebody said in this service this morning, or sitting here tonight, and they're listening to me spit and spew, that my hope is that they'll turn not to me. Oh, if they need to call and ask a question or say, hey, would you pray? I want to. I want to be part of that. But in the end, it's not going to be me that does it. It's going to be the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the Son of God. It's going to be all those things that's going to be doing it. And then if you're going to respond, you're going to do it because you love God. And your story, your cast of emotion, I mean, that's why you're going to go through some sleepless nights. Because you love that little girl. And I mean, you'll do it until the job gets done, until she's up and to where there's a whole new set of problems. I mean, great things coming, right, guys? I mean, us that have had the experience, but every experience is going to be different. And the same for Jace. You are going down a lane right now, but look, it's a lane of hope that if you raise that child right, she's going to know Jesus Christ. You should get where I'm going. Everybody should have some hope, but I'm going to wake up in the morning and still have hope. And I got to keep that hope. Why? Because look at verse 7. This is why I got to. You did run well. Remember the little dog? First thing he did, he's like, okay, who's in my way? Who's? I mean, he was searching them out. Our Christian life shouldn't be much different. We should look around and say, okay, what's going to hinder me? And that's what Paul's saying here. He says, who did hinder you? What does it mean to hinder somebody? It's a big word, ain't it? Brother Bill's over there laughing. Holding up. That's deep. No, it's not. No. If I stand back there by the back door and I kind of do a little I'll keep you from going out the back door. I mean, you'll probably end up getting out, or I'm just joking, I'll let you out. But I'm hindering, I'm slowing you down. And that's the lane of hindrance. We're going to have to face that. Now, I'm looking at the clock. I'm not really worried about the clock, but I do want to keep it in mind. What are some of the things that could hinder you? My ear is still stopped up. If you're saying something you want me to hear it, you're going to have to say it louder than that. Yep. So interpersonal interactions, I guess, is kind of, that's my big theological word there. See, and you could, if you really thought about it, what would hinder you? What keeps me, Rick Stump, from going up and down the road with the gospel that I know that'll save every soul that'll turn to Jesus Christ? What keeps me from knocking on their door? See, I'm not even looking at you. I get to preach it all the time. I should be the one that has the most boldness. Not necessarily. Because after a while, we get mentally bombarded. We kind of get physically bombarded. And here, Paul's not even talking about that. He's not even talking about, he's talking about stuff that the preachers all want to talk about when they get together. Who's preaching the heresy? Who's preaching the you can get saved by works? Now, I've told you, and I said it this morning, as plain and as clear as I could say it, if you believe that you can get to heaven by doing anything in obedience to the Bible or by any acts of good works or any type of church ordinances, Lord's Supper, baptism, church attendance, you're in the wrong place. Because there's only one way that you're getting saved. I don't care who you are or what you think. I've heard people say, you know what, I'm working on it. I've heard it. But it matches nothing about what the Bible says. The Bible says that Jesus is the only way to heaven. The only one. And that's our only message. See, even when we get saved, we can circle back to that. And I almost stuttered or whatever that was. Monday night when I preached at Unity, I kind of give the more in-depth testimony that you've heard in bits and pieces of how I got saved at 10 years old, and it wasn't the great church that I was at, Mount Hebron, or the great messages by Jerry Chandler. It was me getting to a desperate part, walking on Glenmore Heights at the top of the hill, and I look up at the stars that look so beautiful, and I say, God, if you're real, you're going to have to show yourself to me. And from that point, it took years, but God started working in my life. And finally, I sat in that pew about the third or fourth from the back, and I walked forward, and I rededicated my life. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know what I needed, but I knew that the relationship between me and God was wrong. And how did I get there? I started reading my Bible, I started praying, and I knew that me and Jesus weren't right. It didn't matter about my church attendance, it didn't matter about me being a member of that church, because I got rebaptized already, I think. It doesn't matter. It matters that I wanted to get close to Jesus. And I had let life and people hinder me long enough. And I could go into depth, but I won't. But there, I blame people in my family. I blame up here. Not verbally. I blame people out there in my mind. And I finally just come to the realization, without even verbally expressing it to anybody, that it's on me. See, your Christian life is on you. I don't care what's happened to you in the past. I don't care how somebody has treated you, and they shouldn't treat you like that, Miss Becky, or say stuff. They should not. But we got a God. We got a Savior that'll make it right. I mean, I don't care what you're doing, what's happened to you. He'll come to you, and He'll fix you. And that's the beautiful thing about Christianity. It's not about the people. And the people are great. But they're human. They're sinners. We got a Jesus, folks, that if you're hurt, He'll heal you. If you're broken, He'll fix you. And if you're in need of love, He'll show you what love is and more abundantly. And I told them people Monday night, if I hadn't had my old red Bible and read it, I'd have never got there. And I didn't know what I was reading. I didn't know much about doctrine. I didn't know much about anything. Oh, I've raised in church. I've been there over and over and over and over again. You've heard me say I was drugged to church. But hey, I had hindrances. I'd heard all the church stories from Lancaster Baptist. I'd seen how a bunch of men at Lancaster Baptist, and they're a good church, got together and basically voted the preacher out. Immediately! We want him out next week. And the other people voted him down, and you know what those people that voted him out said? We're going to sit right back here in the back of your great big church, right back here in the back of the little section of the church, and we're going to be unified against you. And they did that for like 6 months. That brought the church together, didn't it? Oh, we got unity now. Somebody die and go to heaven or go to hell. Yeah, but we're in solidarity against what y'all doing at this church. I don't know where that come from, but that was a hindrance for somebody. I don't know who. But I remember those stories. I remember them coming up to my grandfather, which I've told you about several times, with a third grade education, and them trying to get him on their team. He said, oh, no, honey. I just don't think that's right. Brother Lee, he didn't give him no in-depth doctrinal answer. He said, I just don't think it's right. And you know what? Looking back, he was right. It just wasn't right what they did. But Paul's saying you're going to have hindrances. He said that ye should not obey the truth. If you got that, why shouldn't you still not obey the truth? You should still obey the word of God. He goes on in verse number 8, this persuasion cometh not of him that called you. In other words, it's not of God. It's not coming from him. And just so you'll know, we got a lane of hindrance, but we also have a lane of judgment. Look at what Paul says in verse 10, I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. I've got this written down because as I was praying today, I try to make as best I can these messages applicable to us, because it doesn't do any good for me to be preaching out there to a bunch of other people. This line of judgment could be to somebody who would dare to say to their son or their daughter, or brother or sister, you know, if you just work hard and you're just a good person, God will take care of you. Got to be careful, because that may send them straight to hell. We know that we want them to be a good person. We know that we want them to prosper. But we got to bring everything circled back to what, class? The gospel. Don't let your kids get caught up in doing better in this world and miss what's the best in the afterworld. And I've heard people stand at the funeral home, and this boy, I mean, well, he's in a better place. And they have no clue whether that person accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior or not. Now, I'm not going to the funeral home to declare judgment. You know why? Because that person's already lived their life. They've already made their choice whether they are going to heaven or hell. And I hope they did accept Jesus Christ. But what we should be thinking about is the people that are walking up to the casket and are casting their thoughts, and somebody needs to tell them, hey, circle back to the gospel. See, we live in a world today that it started with, and it wasn't because of my son, okay? My oldest son played t-ball, and they actually kept score. If you got beat 20-1, the score was on the scoreboard, and the team walked off and said, man, we beat y'all 20-1. But if you got beat 20-1, you also had got to walk off, and the other team saying, I beat you 20-1. But my younger son come up just 4 years later. They didn't keep scoring. I was coaching. It's hard to coach. Why was it hard to coach? I'm looking over there saying, run! And the kid's going, why? We're going to win either way. And at the end of the year, I'm going to get a trophy. I'm going to put it on my shelf. I might even get a nice little medallion to hang over my neck. It started back then, and I think it's growing even more. We got people that are out, and most of them, these people that I'm talking about are not even in our, but it could, that thought process could, but most of these people out there, they think they're entitled to something that doesn't belong to them. Because you are supposed to work. Bible says if you don't work, you ought not to. See, y'all know that verse. Don't I tell nobody that verse in the Baptist church, right? We get you to memorize one that you can quote to somebody for salvation. That's a little bit different story. But everybody knows, oh, if you don't work, you don't eat. We can quote it. See, that's where our mentality is, right? We're either on that side of the fence or the other. Circle it back to where? Gospel. See, we get to verses 12 and 13, or 13 and 14. Paul says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Liberty is freedom. And I can guarantee this for you and for me. Jesus said, I come that you may have life and have it more. We know that. That's almost a Joel Osteen specialty right there. And you say, oh, I don't believe in Joel Osteen. But you know that that's what that says in that verse. But I also want to remind you what else is in that verse. Turn in your Bible and look at, I'm not blaming you, I'm blaming me, because a lot of times I'll quote one end of it or the other end. We quoted the end of it, right? What's the beginning of that verse say? The thief. I mean, we're supposed to have abundant life, right? When I was working at UPS, I didn't know it, but I would have to get up at like 1 or 1:30, whatever time it was, in the morning. And it was summertime, I remember this much. And they had broke into two of our vehicles, I think at least. I don't know that, okay? I'm walking out down there going to my truck, and I'm like, whoa. Somebody's broken. And I start walking down the street. I don't have a stick, I don't have a bat, I don't have a gun, I don't have a nothing. But I'm going to catch the guy I know he's around here somewhere because he left something on the floor. I don't have even a flashlight, Brother Ronnie. That was not smart. Because the police figured out, they think, that I was within about 10 foot and he was right behind a bush. But I didn't have no idea he was there. I want to let you know there is abundant life, but the devil, he what? You know that verse too. He's slithering around seeking whom he may devour. He cannot take your salvation, but he could take your testimony. He could do like that one dog and knock you out of the lane. See, I'm telling you, it says the thief cometh not but what? To steal, kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, look, I've come. I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Back over in our text, he said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. That word liberty is really simple. Freedom. I'm looking on my paper. I got it written down there somewhere, but I probably... Oh, here we go. Liberty. The definition. That's what I'm looking for. I got it written down there. You're going to be shocked that this word liberty, it's a Bible word. It's not just a Greek word, okay? It's a Bible word. And I did not write the Greek down, but it means freedom, of course. Liberty, this is the part I want you to see. To do or to omit things having no relationship to salvation. Did you get that? Think about that definition for just a second. The liberty to do or to omit. Omit means to remove. The things having no relationship to salvation. True liberty is living as we should, not as we please. And that's the kind of life that we're brought into. He says there, and we're going to finish verse 13 and go to 14, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Just because you're free to do whatever, don't do it to the flesh. Because remember, we cannot please God in the flesh. And he says, but by love serve one another. Remember what we said about verse number 6 about worketh. That's the operation that we're under. He says in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Maybe this will make sense. And I won't try to bring anybody else into this. When I was dating Jenny, I was about as naive a young man as you could get. Okay? And it does... Y'all will know, it doesn't bother me to bear my heart to somebody, but I didn't go into dating her to see how soon I could get her a kiss or anything from her. We dated for at least 3 months before we ever kissed. 6 months. Okay? Terry's looking at me like, what in the world was you thinking? Hey, that was just me. But here's the other thing. In that, I also didn't go in to see if I could woo her into loving me. And I'll tell you what happened, and it happened not by me conjuring up a plan. I promise you it wasn't. And I can show you the picture where we were sitting the day or the evening, the sun was going down. And out of the blue, I just looked at her and I said, I love you. First time it ever happened. And she responded, thankfully, with the same reply. What I'm trying to tell you is, love is not something you can conjure up. You can't just like put, you know, stuff in a pan and it just come up. That operating power that we're going to serve God in is going to be through the gospel, yes. But it's going to be because we've got into a relationship with Jesus Christ so close that if he says to give your life for him, you'll say yes. Won't even hesitate. See, how do you know that? Genesis 22. Abraham, I want you to sacrifice that boy that I promise you. Yes, sir. Let's go. It wasn't because he was obedient, because he loved God so much and he trusted God so much, he was willing to do anything he asked him, when he asked him. But there are going to be times, folks, when we're going to have bumps, we have hindrances in our Christian life. We got to be like that dog in that video. We got to be vigilant. And even if there's somebody getting ready to knock us out of getting the prize, we need to knock them out of the way and say, no, Jesus said he's going to give me this victorious, this abundant life, and I want it. The question is will we be like that dog and be looking? I mean, did you notice when it, I mean, you can go back, what did you say, 1993. That dog was looking, man. I mean, and this guy's holding that dog like, I got my eye on the competitors. There was one other video I couldn't find, but there's another one that's even better than that that I had in my mind once I got on this lane thing. But folks, we're in a race. It's won by patience. But you got to maintain the drive to win. And I'm asking you, will you do what it takes? Let's all stand for prayer. Father, again, we come to you tonight knowing that probably none of us, well, I know this for myself, I'm not worthy of your love, I'm not worthy of your care, but you saved me by your grace. You want to use me for your glory. And if that's going to happen, Lord, I want to learn to love you so much that I want to be like Abraham, that when you ask me to give that most special thing up, I'm willing to do it. There's some days I think I'm there and some days I don't think I'm there. There's some days I know I'm not there. So Lord, I pray that you just help us to seek be Christ-like each and every day, and to win the race each and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.